How's it going, everybody? This is Curious Apes. Today we are here with Amy Sheffick, and she is a personal development coach based out of London. Amy, tell us what made you want to get into coaching.
Well, that's a question. Basically, I had an epic quarter life crisis, and I just kind of was really unfulfilled and unhappy with my life, and realized that when I came through the end of it, I could help other people going through the same thing. And I've always been interested in positive psychology and personal development from like quite a young age, but never really kind of considered it as being a viable option for me until like the shit hit the fan in my own life. And I just kind of started to reevaluate where I was and what I wanted to do.
Yeah, that seems to be the turning point for most people, is the ego death, where everything just goes to the rock bottom and you have to start figuring out how to rebuild yourself. And one way we tend to do that, which is something I want to talk to you about, is self-sabotage. That sounds like something that you're very passionate about addressing. I think you mentioned earlier some stats that you know about how much of our consciousness versus subconscious deal with self-sabotage.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's crazy. I never like knew any of this stuff before I started doing my coaching training. And I'd heard of like comfort zones. I was aware of them being a thing, but I never was that aware of my own. I always felt like I was a pretty happy, confident person, and I kind of knew what I wanted in life. And I was like, yeah, what's the problem? I'm just going to go do that thing. And then when my quarter life crisis hit and that all kind of got turned on its head, I started to feel like a real lack of confidence and belief in myself, and just felt really super miserable. And one of the first conversations I had with my own coach, I was saying to him how, sorry, this cat is going crazy now. I was saying to him how I've always been a really happy person. And so being in this state of being unhappy was a real contrast for me. And I really didn't like it and I wanted to change it. And I kind of explained to him how my life had gone so far, the choices I'd made and the like things that I'd, you know, gone and done. And he said to me, "It doesn't sound so much like you were happy. It just sounds like you were content." And that just blew my mind. I was like, what? I never even considered that as being a thing that was my reality. And the more we talked and the more I've learned since, I realized that subconsciously I had chosen certain career paths or made particular, you know, choices throughout my life that had led me to this very safe comfort zone, which was my life. And the problem with that is that nothing grows in your comfort zone. You don't challenge yourself, and you do just end up getting bored and frustrated, and then you get anxious and depressed, and then you have a quarter life crisis or whatever it may be. And I've learned some statistics with the whole subconscious mind thing. Our subconscious mind is like crazy powerful, and most of our subconscious is made up and programmed before we even reach the age of 10 years old. But our subconscious is responsible for 95% of our decision making and our behavior. So only 5% is our conscious mind, which is really crazy, because you are essentially like making your adult decisions based on stuff you learned and took on as fact when you were like 8 or 9 years old, which is like not necessarily gonna like serve you the best as a grown up.
A very hard thing to do though, isn't it? Because I mean, how do you give power back to that 5% and change? How do you change what part of you has control? And you know, it's a very hard thing to do, I think, because I think we live in a culture that does a very good job of making us terrified of everything. We have rent, we have bills, we have, you know, often shitty healthcare systems. We have the chaos of being in a chaotic universe that really, for the most part, does not really give a damn about us as individuals. Yeah. And so we naturally seek out comfort. We naturally seek out some place to where we can have stability, where we can have a reprieve from the chaos. And I think that constantly maybe feeds the 95%. And it's very difficult to, you know, empower that 5% to step outside the comfort zone and try something new that gives you the new experiences that kind of make you feel alive. So I'm wondering, you know, how do you think we give the power to that 5% in a world that is so difficult for so many of us?
Well, this is the thing I'm going to drop on you now. Okay. So we're not only dealing with the subconscious, we're also dealing with the way our brains are programmed. And that is the whole fight or flight mode. You know, like our ancestors needed that for survival. And what that means is that if you are attempting to do something and there's an unknown outcome, so it could be like changing career or, you know, it's anything to do with like a relationship or, you know, the big life stuff that we have to deal with, the outcomes aren't always certain. Like we don't know how everything is going to go before we embark on that journey. And so what happens is our brain starts to freak out a bit and it goes, well, if you go down that road and we don't know what's down there, like that could be dangerous. And it starts to tell you like all the reasons you shouldn't do something. And it is just your brain's kind of survival like mechanism trying to keep you safe and keep you alive because, and you know, that does work in many cases in today's world. I mean, there's definitely been times where I've been like, okay, I'm not going to cross the road right now because I could die. Like,
yeah.
It's really helpful for a lot of things. But the problem comes when, you know, these days we're not in a world like our ancestors were, where, well, at least for the most of us anyway, where mortal danger isn't an everyday occurrence. Mm-hmm. So our kind of, I call it my fear monkey. It's like that part of my brain just like freaks me out about, or tries to freak me out about a bunch of stuff that it doesn't need to. And that is another thing alongside the subconscious that keeps me in my comfort zone. So for me, it was really the first step was becoming aware of it and like understanding that that is how my brain is working. So all of those like fears and those reasons I'm telling myself to not do something because I might fail or people might judge me or I may not be able to do it or it's scary or whatever, it's not like fact. it's just my fear trying to keep me safe. And once I kind of was able to understand that, then I was able to start implementing different like tools and techniques to like flip that around and change that programming and change that story from one of fear and you can't do this to one of it's okay and you absolutely can do it. And you know what, if it doesn't work out, like it's okay, you're not gonna die. So that's the first step, I think, is awareness and then flipping the story around.
I mean, I definitely agree that awareness is the key because it kind of is acceptance in some ways as well. You kind of accept the fate of the world and how it's out of your control, and that kind of frees you from worrying about as much. Yeah. But I love that you touched on saying it's about the story, because for me personally, I find a lot of our self-sabotage comes from the story we tell. And it's kind of this, you know, the way I like to think about it is when you wake up in the morning, you can literally do anything you want. But we all have told ourselves that I'm this job and I'm this type of person. You know, I'm a skater and a programmer and an American, or, you know, I'm a writer. And so today I have to skateboard and I have to write and I have to be an American and I have to go to this job. And we tell this narrative of who we are. And then when things deviate from that narrative, we freak out because we feel like we're somehow betraying ourselves. So for me, I think a big part of avoiding self-sabotage is to kind of let us rewrite our own story. And one way I think we do that is one of the techniques that you know you're mentioning, techniques that you can use. Personally for me, I've actually found meditation to be a really great tool for this, because I think it lets me be more in the moment and not get ahead of myself in the story, because when you get ahead of yourself in the story, usually the first place you go is how this is going to turn out to be the worst situation. You don't usually go, oh, I'm going to go down that road and I bet there's going to be small children with balloons and butterflies and it's going to be the most amazing. I'm going to get into a dance party and it's going to be fantastic. Yeah. You think, holy shit, I'm going to get mugged and shot. And, you know, you immediately predict the worst thing, but that's kind of your, you know, your subconscious brain jumping ahead in the story and trying to warn you of all the bad things. And if you can stay more present, maybe through methods like meditation and the acceptance that you mentioned from awareness, then you kind of empower yourself to be liberated from the dread and self-limitations that we kind of put on ourselves. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, yeah, a few. Yeah, like I totally agree. I think meditation is fantastic. And again, it's something I was aware of before, but never really practiced. And I kind of didn't know how to do it. And in my experience so far, like, there's a few different types of meditation, and I think you just got to find the right type for you, because I think it's really, really beneficial. And one of the other things that I really love to do is to journal, because again, something I never did before, but when I was having my whole quarter life crisis thing, one of the ways I was kind of describing it to people, like, for example, I'd be sitting at home with all these thoughts running through my head. And I was just like sat there like that. And then my husband would be like, what are you thinking about? And I'd be like, oh, so much stuff. Like, I can't pick one thing. And it was like a brain tornado, just so much stuff going on, like chaos. So when I started to journal and just write that stuff out, just like stream of consciousness, I automatically started to feel lighter in my head. I could kind of look back at it and say, well, okay, that's something that I don't need to worry about, and maybe that's something I do need to focus on. But it allowed me the space to kind of clear out all the noise and the chaos. So that's kind of, I think, things like that and meditation are really, really great, and reading, all that kind of stuff. And there was something else you said that I wanted to talk about, the whole, yeah, when your brain automatically goes to the negative. Mm-hmm. So the really interesting thing I've learned lately is that your brain cannot distinguish between truth and a well-imagined thought. So if you're telling yourself this story, or like all this bad stuff's going to happen, like, you don't know that that bad stuff is going to happen because it hasn't happened yet. So you're imagining this stuff. So the more you imagine it, the more your brain is going to start to think, oh, that's true, that's definitely going to happen. And then that's going to obviously influence your actions and what you then do with regards to the situation. But it's like, if you start to change that negative story to a positive story, because, hey, we're just imagining it anyway, right? Then your brain is going to start to believe that. And the more you train it and reprogram it to go to the positive before it goes to the negative, then you're going to see a huge increase in your confidence, because you're just going to start to believe that things are going to work out and that they're going to do well and you're going to be okay. And then, you know, because your thoughts influence your feelings and your feelings influence your actions and your actions result in your physical reality. So it's really important what is going on in your head, mm-hmm. and what you're telling yourself, because, you know, if you look at your reality and your life as it is and you're not like too happy about it, the place to start is like, what am I telling myself? And start to be aware of it and then start to think, oh, how is this serving me? Or what is it like, how is it holding me back? And that kind of stuff. And I've just actually finished reading this book called The Confidence Code. And it talks about this whole kind of overthinking and overanalyzing and going to the negative first. And this book in particular is talking about the differences in confidence between men and women. And obviously, being a girl, I can only say from my own experience, but it brought up a really interesting point. And it'd be interesting to hear what you think about it, being a dude. But they were saying how, like, a lot of men have a lot, like, higher levels of confidence than women in a lot of aspects of life. And one of the reasons for that is, again, kind of going back in time to our ancestors and how men were like the hunter-gatherers, right? So they had to be kind of courageous and focused and just like go out and take action, because that's how you survive. That's what they did. They were like going out to in those risky situations to hunt animals and bring them back to the family. So that kind of action taking mentality like generates confidence. But the women were like the lookouts. So we would stay back with the family and look out for danger. We would prepare to protect the family. So we were like risk assessing all the time, looking for like the worst case scenario so we could be ready. And it's like back then, obviously that worked because that's what we needed to survive. But now it's like just doesn't help us at all, because it doesn't breed confidence. It just gives you all these kind of overthinking, risk assessing, like all the possible things that could go wrong. And it just keeps you stuck and frustrated. So yeah, I don't know how you feel about that from a guy's point of view, but
I think that definitely makes sense in terms of the DNA history and kind of the culture of men and women. Unfortunately, though, I think it goes beyond that to the fact that we still live in a largely patriarchal society where we don't really treat women as equals. And that if I was a woman, I would probably not feel very safe around the majority of men because of the fact that we do still operate, many of us still operate with this notion that we are conquerors and that women are prizes for us to take at our will. And that's something that gets sold a lot through media and things like that. So I think, unfortunately, women kind of have to be, unfortunately, more aware of their surroundings, because, you know, a man walking alone at night has a significantly lower chance of being attacked than a woman walking alone at night. So in that case, I think it's a very unfortunate failing in our society in terms of why women have to be scared. And going back to your brain tornado, though, I was thinking about that and it thinking about how journaling can help that, because one thing I always say that I find so helpful as well is journaling. And it's because it that brain tornado is kind of like a torrent of abstract ideas. So it's just a lot of abstract thoughts that you can't really grasp and that you don't really understand. And in that way, they kind of appear as unknowns. And as unknowns, they allow us to, again, project the worst case scenario onto everything. So we're kind of creating this nightmarish, abstract world that we don't even have an understanding of why we're doing it. And for me, one reason journaling, I find, is so beneficial is because it allows us to kind of clear away all of that chaos in our mind and turn it into an abstract idea that we can look at objectively on a piece of paper. And so it kind of takes all that crazy, these symbols that we have no meaning for and that we're projecting all these worst case ideas onto, puts it in something concrete that we can look at. And then we can go, oh, okay, that's what I've been thinking about. And it's really not that bad, because here's the obvious, like, best case, worst case scenario. And in that case, you imagine better. You know, when you do go down that dark alley, you don't have all of these negative thoughts overwhelming you. And instead you have this more clear imagination that can more easily look at a situation and think, okay, well, this actually isn't that bad. I'll probably will be fine, because I don't have all of these negative influences swimming around in my brain.
Yeah. Definitely. Like you say, it gives you that detachment from it, so you can kind of then look at it objectively. And it's something that I do fairly regularly now, is to journal, especially as being like a self-employed entrepreneur and all of that. There's a lot of days where you wake up and you think, oh God, I have like just so much going around in my head and I feel like I can't start anything. So that really helps to just kind of clear the slate and just be like, okay, calm down. What do I need to do? But I remember times even before, like years ago, where there was one instance in particular where I just woke up feeling really depressed and like I had no idea why. Literally couldn't get out of bed, just had nothing had happened to me like to make me feel this way. I literally just opened my eyes and was like, oh, everything's shit. It's just like, I don't want to feel this way. Like, this isn't who I am. And I had a notebook in my bedside table, so and a pen. So I just started writing out like anything that came into my head, just, you know, release writing, just stream of consciousness. And literally, like, as soon as I'd gotten it all out of my head, I was like in a completely different mood. I was like, yeah, let's start the day. What are we gonna do? Like, super happy. And I was just kind of amazed at how effective it was, because it, again, like I said, I wasn't aware of it being like journaling and stuff. I was just kind of like, I have a bunch of crap in my head and I just want to get it out so I can get on with my day. And I'd done it, like, you know, randomly, like, forever really, but not as a sort of regular practice. But now that I do it as a regular practice, like, I would still be in those brain tornadoes if I didn't. So it's super, super helpful.
I completely agree. I mean, for me, I've been freelancing and writing for 8 years now, and at first I would go nonstop and basically wear myself out, grind myself down, and just be fatigued and overwhelmed by all the things I'm trying to juggle. And for me, the biggest thing I found was I cycle and meditate about every 3 or 4 hours, so that in between all my work sessions, I get up and I move and I breathe and I clear my mind. And I think it's really important that we kind of reset our consciousness so that it can kind of clear out every now and then, and that we don't let it kind of build up to this point to where it's like we're overwhelmed and we don't know how to manage the thoughts anymore. So I mean, getting rid of that brain tornado, I think, is very important. I like the brain tornado idea.
I'm trying to trademark that, because like, put it on a t-shirt.
Hurry up, because the world is going to watch this.
I know, right? Don't steal my idea, guys.
You heard it. She just TM'd it, everybody. It's trademarked. Any other thoughts on self-sabotage and self-limitation, Amy?
Yeah, I mean, so I have a friend who I talk to a lot about, like, because we're in similar situations in terms of both being self-employed, both want to, like, do things that are, you know, not necessarily the norm in life. And sometimes I'll talk to him and we'll have a really great chat about what are the next steps are and how to move forward and how to set yourself up for success. And then, like, I'll talk to him a week later, he'll be like, yeah, I haven't done any of that stuff. And I'm not just, like, you know, blaming him, because, like, I've definitely noticed that in myself sometimes too. And I think sometimes we look at all this huge amount of stuff that we want to do and we want to achieve, and it all just feels a bit too big and a bit too overwhelming. And we kind of think, like, is this really in my capability to make this happen? And we start to doubt ourselves. And instead of just breaking it down and taking the little steps that we know we can take, we just, like, distract ourselves with, like, TV or, like, food or, you know, social media or whatever, because it's easier to switch off and not think about it than to just kind of take responsibility, take control, and just be like, okay, I know that meditating and journaling is going to help me. I know that if I schedule my time properly and I have a goal in sight and I just take these little manageable steps, like this persistent, consistent action, like, I'm gonna get to where I want to get to. You know, that kind of doesn't enter our brains when it needs to and stop us from self-sabotaging. And I think it is just kind of what you say, like, self-limitations, the whole kind of the fear of what if it doesn't work and I've put all this effort in and I fail and people judge me for it and all this stuff, it kind of just gets enough to stop you from doing the stuff you know you should or can or, you know, are capable of doing to get where you want to go.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, I think, like, you, no, no, you hit on a very good point. I mean, again, we've talked about it. Fear is obviously the main motivator in most of what we're talking about, but the fear of failure is got to be the most detrimental. And it's weird because it's actually the least realistic fear in terms of actually having any impact on you whatsoever. It's pure ego, pure social standing, pure concern about how your community is going to perceive you. And it's crazy because the people I know who are the most successful, the people I know who have the most liberated, passionate, fulfilled lives are the people who fail all the time. Like it's insane. And I think people kind of fail to realize that a lot of people fail to realize that nobody really cares if you fail. Like everyone's failing all the time at something. You're not going to be good at anything. And the only way you get to where you're trying to go is by failing. And so we sit back and we look at these people who are succeeding and we think they had it easy. And we don't see that they failed all along the way. But what they probably did was what you were talking about before. And they broke it down into little manageable parts and made little tiny leaps of success every time they failed. You fail once or twice, you succeed three or four times and you move forward. And I think breaking it down like that is extremely helpful. I talk about, I have a friend who wants to ride a motorcycle across the country. And they say they can't do it because they can't afford a motorcycle. And, you know, so that's not even worth trying. It costs, you know, let's say $5,000 to get a motorcycle and they have so many bills. And I broke them down a spreadsheet that showed how just not going out like one night a week and cutting a few expenses here and there could give them so much savings a month that within a year and a half, they could buy that motorcycle. So they could have in a year and a half, they could have they could drive their motorcycle across the country. But people have a hard time breaking it down like that. And they let themselves get overwhelmed by this big figure that's, you know, $5,000 or whatever. And they don't realize that there's a bunch of little steps they can take along the way to get there. And So I think the breaking it down into small steps is really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, we are so quick to give ourselves all the reasons why we can't or shouldn't do something, but we don't often give enough thought to all the reasons why we could or we should do something. You know, it's like things are doable. Like you can figure stuff out. And like, how nice is that of you to make a spreadsheet for your buddy? Just like, you can do it. I believe in you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Well, Amy, do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap up that you would like to say to whoever is watching?
I would say that this all, like, when you lay it out there and say, like, this is how you become more self-aware, this, you just need to change your story, you know, you need to journal, meditate, whatever. Like, it sounds like super simple and like quite obvious when it's laid out. And in a way, it kind of is. Like, it's not rocket science and everybody can do it. But the challenge comes from being committed to it, from taking that consistent, persistent action and saying, you know, I don't want life to just happen to me. I'm here one time and life is short and I want to make it the best I can make it. So I'm going to do everything I can to do that the way I want to do it. And whenever those fears creep up, I would just ask yourself, like, what is scarier? Not doing this thing that I kind of want to do, but I'm scared I might fail, or getting to be, you know, 20, 30, 40 years down the road and being like, oh, I just wasted all that time staying stuck in my comfort zone and I'm never going to get that time back. Like, to me, the idea of that is scarier than trying any new thing.
Yeah, that's more terrifying.
Totally more terrifying. And if you do like read any of the books of people who are successful, it will say in every single one of those books exactly what you just said. They fail all the time. And that failure does lead them to success. So in a way, if you don't even try and you stay in your comfort zone because you're scared of failing, you kind of failed at life by doing that. So you know, you just got to choose what's more important. What's your priority?
Well, there you go, everybody. Go out, try, and don't worry about failing, because we all do.
Get help as well. Like, you don't have to do everything by yourself. Have a support network, and just, you know, don't feel like you're in it on your own, because that is a surefire way to not want to do it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Community is a very, very helpful thing to have when you're trying to make a fulfilled existence. All right, Amy, well, thank you so much for joining us. We will send some links out to your website so people can look into some coaching if they're interested. And that is all for Curious Apes and Self-Sabotage. Thanks, everybody.